What did you think about Jesus in that parable? It's about money, isn't it? Is it about money? About pay, about wages, but is it about money? And think about that a minute. Now, how many of us have ever had to work for a living? And you get paid, here's somebody that shows up at the last minute, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, goes out in the vineyard, and they get the same pay as you did, and you were out there at old dark 30, early, and you've worn your body out, and you get the same pay. It's not fair. Any of you got kiddos? It's not fair. Not only do kiddos say that, but all too many grown-ups, don't we? But it's not about money. It's a parable about the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jewish people, the nation, has been God's people for millennia. Their ancestors, their great, from Adam, from Abram to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah, from the very beginning of God's history with humanity, these Hebrews have been a faithful people. They've had to eat special diets. They've had to wear special clothes. They've had all of different restrictions on them, living kosher, living properly, living faithfully, obeying the Sabbath, doing all those things. And they have done it through generations. And yet here come these Johnny-come-lately Gentiles, Greeks and Romans and Cretans and Arabs and Auroraites, all coming and just in the last generation or two, just at 5 o'clock, and we expect to receive God's love, compensation, and forgiveness as well. It's not fair. These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. And Diana read it. Am I not allowed, God says, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? And then Diana said something else that wasn't on the text up there. Did you see here? That's a translation, a different translation of that same passage. And it is, has your eye become evil because I am good? Think about that a minute. Has your eye become evil because I am good? Have we done something to besmirch ourselves because God has done something gracious? We are chastised. We are called to account. We are truly and correctly reprimanded by God. Last week we talked about the phrase fearing God. Fearing God, and it has a whole list and connotation of different meaning. Being aware of God's awesomeness, being beholden to God, being obedient to God, accepting God and God's mandates, acknowledging God as the only and correct right one. So this is fearing God, and what Jesus is saying here is we fail to fear God when we second God, second guess God. So the first will be last and the last will be first, or vice versa. If we are gifted, if God has given us awesome gifts, isn't that enough? Can't we say, amen, Lord, thank you? But a piece of us, like the children on the playground, says, it's not fair. It's an astonishing passage in Jonah. If they took out the big fish, and that's what the translation of the whale really is. It comments on a big fish. They didn't know what whales were. They were leviathans, creatures of the deep. Hard to see, hard to explain, hard to be aware of, but they were big and they were scary. And so they call this big fish. and a big fish that swallows Jonah up and spits him out on the shores of Nineveh. That's what everybody hangs on to, is that image. But here is Jonah, who refuses to do God's bidding, to go and to help save the Ninevites, a people that he detests. He absolutely just, he can't let go of his hatred of them. God says, you're going to go there, buddy. A whalegram. That was supposed to be a little joke there that I fit in there, but doesn't. He goes out on the shore. He knows he's not going to be able to resist anymore. God's not going to give up. 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. Interesting turn, overthrown. I tried to look further into it. I didn't find any translational variances or whatever, but it's that sense of all that you are will be disrupted. Out of order will come chaos. Out of all that you are will become a mess. And the animals listen, and the women listen, and the children listen, and the men listen, and even the king listens, and they put on sackcloth. Now, we're students of the Bible enough to realize that people that are in mourning put on sackcloth and sit in ashes and heap ashes onto their heads as symbols of their grief and of their grieving. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed God's mind about the calamity. And God said he would bring upon them, and God did not do it. That plan's calamity turns into forgiveness. Who could not say, hooray, amen, thank you, Lord, people, 120,000 people saved. Jonah still just can't get it. He goes out east of the city, puts up a tent, sitting there, and it's hot and it's dry, and a bush grows. God causes a bush to grow up and provide shade. In a day, one quick day, this bush arrives. It's lovely. Jonah loves that bush. The shade is awesome. It is just to die for. And he is so happy because he's got this blessed bush to save his poor head from the baking sun. What a blessing. So God causes the bush to die overnight, sends a worm that cuts it off. I believe the original text can be translated to say. And Jonah is so brokenhearted over the loss of that bush that he decides he has to die. He is just so sad he wishes to die. And God really points it out. You are brokenhearted over a bush that came up in one day, went in one day, and yet over a people, 120,000 souls saved, you cannot see that same joy. That's a lesson to all of us. It's a lesson to human societies and cultures and nations, because we tend to have someone that our nation loves to hate. We got to have a big bad enemy out there somewhere that we can really wish evil things upon. And we're not happy about it when they don't get punished. I told you the story about the fairly recent, you know, I grew up at the time when we were in the Cold War, and this community, I'm going to say it was in Washington State, but one of the exchange students was from Russia. He was a communist. And the students at first, a communist in our midst, think a moment about McCarthy and about the McCarthyism and about communism was the evil incarnate. And so as they got to know this young man, they called him our little communist. They befriended him, or he befriended them, and it broke down a set of barriers. Who are those that we want to gather together to condemn, whether God does or not? And how have we failed to be in awe of our God, to fear our God, and to respond? The cover of the bulletin set of scales, the scales of justice. We hear a lot of stories about justice. We hear it now about wealthy people's justice as opposed to poor people's justice. If you've got the money, it's a different form of justice than anybody else. But here in God, we have a just judge that is not swayed, that is not manipulated, that knows our inner hearts, that is the perfect judge, and that can judge us with love and compassion, and can judge others that we might want to condemn. And if God does so, we say, amen, God, you know better than us. Can we remember to do that? Lord God, you know better than us. You know, and we don't. Amen.